Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. This is Monday, March the 20th of the year 2023. Lots to talk about on the show today, as always, including more confusion as to whether or not the all-weather turf field that had been planned for South Langford Elementary that would have been lit, that we thought was canceled last week, really was canceled. Scott Goodmanson, mayor of Langford, trying to tell CTV on Friday that it might still go forward, or part of it might still go forward. Still wrapping my head around that one, but here's what it sounded like.
Amid high inflation, another blow for many homeowners.
Whoops, wrong one. This one.
On the West Shore, a new sports field at a school under construction is under scrutiny. User groups want the city of Langford to commit to funding turf and lighting. As CTV's Brendan Strain reports, the mayor says they're weighing all options.
But like present tense weighing. Ravi Parmar said it had to go out for tenders before spring break to avoid any delays of the school opening.
Construction on a new 480-seat elementary school is underway in South Langford.
For any young families in the South Langford area.
There's Parmar there.
There's not a lot of amenity land.
The school district was hoping to build this school with a lit turf all-weather field. Partial funding for that part of the project would need to come from Langford City Hall.
I sent a letter in January, followed up in February.
SD62 received no response from Mayor and Council.
And then we sent a final letter in March letting them know, at this point we just need an answer one way or the other.
With tender needing to be finalized to begin construction, SD62 decided to proceed without the turf field and lights, settling on an unlit grass field.
It's unfortunate the rhetoric that's going around because it hasn't even come up to council yet. It's part of the budgeting process.
The mayor says council hasn't yet decided either way if it's willing to fund the field and expects that conversation to happen around the council table in April before finalizing the city budget, a budget that has some big ticket items in it.
We're trying to figure out how we pay for 27 new firefighters, 5 new police officers when the previous council only budgeted us for 2.
Never mind trying to save the YMCA operation in Langford and the building of a new $81 million police station.
It's not that we're ignoring it. It hasn't been the top 4 priorities yet, and then that's no disrespect to the school board.
User groups like the West Shore Warriors Football Club says Langford needs to make the construction of more turf.
What? He's talking about rhetoric flying around. They had to get the tenders out before spring break so the school would stay on schedule because they don't want to miss the opening date. And I don't understand how he could think that we could just change the tender. I mean, you can, but there's costs when you try to alter a tendering process once it's been initiated, and the costs generally come in 2 forms, time and money. The school district has been clear that it doesn't have enough money to afford with this itself, and it also doesn't want to lose any more time because that would be a cost borne by the children who might be deprived of the school at a certain time if it is delayed in its opening.
Fields a priority.
We need all the fields possible for all our associations because our municipality is growing.
The West Shore Warriors say between football, soccer, and field lacrosse, field time has become hard to come by for sports teams in the West Shore.
Everything is still a possibility until it comes to council.
The mayor.
What?
Isn't ruling out council still supporting the field?
Okay.
Or the lights is a separate item.
I'm not sure I don't think he understands what's going on. I just don't.
SD62 says if council did decide to support the field, it's not too late, but it will come with added cost.
See, there we go. So it would be either extra time, extra money, or perhaps a combination of the two. Maybe if they really piled on extra money, they could expedite the process. Well, because all the design work's already done, right? So I guess now they have to issue. In fact, actually, hold on. Now that I'm thinking, the staff report originally said that one of the reasons they had to start the process for the turf field, for the grass field now, is because all the groundwork has been laid for the turf field. So perhaps if that work's already done, it would be easier to revert back. But just like, this is bizarre. I've never seen this happen before.
Because of the fact that our tender went out on Wednesday.
Yeah!
And anytime you make changes to tender.
You know, Langford Council, when it learns what a tender is, it's going to be upset.
Of construction projects, it complicates things from a costing perspective.
For now, construction will proceed without plans to build the all-weather field, one that community groups can use, and council isn't sure it can afford. Brendan Strain, CTV News, Langford.
Okay, so yeah, I just want to make sure that that's on the record, because I said it was over, it was done, as in forever. You can retrofit something after it gets built. Heck, you know, years from now, you could tear out the grass field and install a turf field there if you wanted to. You can always bulldoze or demolish anything. It just costs time and money to do so. So it looks like Langford might still be open to the artificial grass field and lights, or maybe just the lights, or I have no idea. Meanwhile, the town of Sydney yesterday on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, posts, "It was an exciting day at Blue Heron Park." And you look, and it's got this big excavator, and it's on a grass field. There's these little kids watching it, and there's lights in the background, and there's soccer goals in the background. They're on a lit turf field, or at least the beginnings of one. The town of Sydney saying, "Where an excavator took to the field to take a ceremonial first scoop to mark the long-awaited installation of field turf. This project," Sydney writes on its social media, "has been funded in part by the town of Sydney. Amazing work, Peninsula Soccer Association." So I write on Twitter, "Congratulations on having a functioning government, town of Sydney. You might think organizing the financing and construction of a turf field is easy, because it is easy. I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but keep up the good work." And then I got responded to by somebody reminding me, and I'm thankful for this, that the project is advancing with the support of all three Peninsula municipalities, the town of Sydney, North Saanich, as well as Central Saanich. And none of them are on TV saying they're not sure if they can pay for it because budgeting is hard. Okay, whatever. Like, I just, you know, I don't even know what to say. But then again, I have found it difficult to follow Scott Goodmanson and his official story for how he ran for office, as well as other things, in the first place. We've done it on previous shows. We've taken a look at his timeline, and I said, you know, his timeline just doesn't add up. He says that he didn't decide to run for office until after Labor Day of 2022. Labor Day was September the 5th. That's where the long weekend was for 2022. He files his papers on the last possible day, on September the 9th. That's 4 days after, and then he runs and he wins October the 15th. I've said that that official story just didn't make sense to me. The timelines are too fast. Like, it would be more believable if he had made the decision, like, months earlier. So a curious thing has happened. I've been listening to various sources of him telling this story. Like, at a September 28th West Shore Chamber of Commerce All Candidates Forum, where he, again, said it was Labor Day, so September the 5th that he decided to run.
"The Labor Day weekend came along.
The Labor Day weekend came along.
The Labor Day weekend came along. My wife and I and our neighbor friends, we went camping, couching. And if anyone's camping, couching, you're in the dead zone."
And he tells a story about how when you're camping at Cowichan, you're there in the dead zone. And then when he got back, he saw an article about the trees that were falling on the Hidden Valley Mobile Home Park from the development further up the mountain on Bear Mountain. He told an identical story to our own Al Farabee, October 17th, 2022, the Monday after the election.
"What turned the point was over the Labor Day long weekend, my wife and I and our friends, we went camping to Cowichan Lake. And it's kind of a dead zone in the cell area there. And we came back and turned on the computer, and there was an article."
Now, I've already looked through it, and I think he's talking about a Langford Voters for Change Facebook post, which is now called Langford Voters, which kicked me out of their group last week, which, you know, I found some pretty interesting things on, and we're going to get into that coming up in just a few moments. But again, this is what he told CFAX October 17th, 2022.
"About this tiny mobile home park called the Hidden Valley Mobile Home Park at the north end of Florence Lake. At the base of
So everything's still consistent. The problem, though, is that you get a few months later and he's now in office. And this is on the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce YouTube channel. Bruce Williams, who we know very well, is actually hosting a piece. And it's an interview with Scott Goodmanson. And I'm just sampling it for the purposes of commentary here. Because as you have heard him say, Labor Day is when he made the decision.
The Labor Day weekend.
The Labor Day weekend, September 28th.
"What turned the point was over the Labor Day long weekend."
The Labor Day weekend, October the 17th. As of March the 2nd, he says a different weekend.
And then we'd gone camping for the August long weekend, and I can't.
The August long weekend was August the 1st. It's a month earlier. It's more than a month earlier.
And then we'd gone camping for the August long weekend, and I came back and just turned on a computer, and there was a story about the Hidden Valley Mobile Home Park with, like, people filming out the back of the trailer, and there's a big cat moving earth above. And
so I don't know if he's misspeaking there, but the August long weekend is the BC Day long weekend, and it's the first Monday in August. It happened to be August the 1st of 2022. I don't know why he would consistently have a story, which I've said doesn't make sense because the timeline is too tight. Labor Day is September the 5th. He gets back. He files his papers 4 days later on September the 9th.
The Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend.
What turned the point was over the Labor Day long weekend.
And then now, more recently in March, she told Bruce Williams at the Chamber of Commerce it was actually the August long weekend.
And then we'd gone camping for the August long weekend and I came back and...
Now, maybe he just misspoke. Maybe he still means September, but I'm having difficulty following Scott Goodman's various changing stories for how he ran for office officially in the first place. And when you look at Langford Voters for Change, he was a common commenter and poster there. I've never actually believed that he was just some nobody from Saanich who decided to run at the last minute and won. I think that it's more likely that he's been involved in political activism in and around Langford for at least a year and a half, probably longer. I think he's been active, especially online, in Langford Voters. And I think, like anybody else, he's probably earned a reputation through persistent activism and expressing concerns and holding the mayor and council, Stu Young, to account. And again, there's all sorts of evidence that Scott Goodmanson is not just some nobody who appeared from thin air, ran and won, but rather that he's somebody who's been involved in the local political scene for quite some time, despite having an address in Saanich. That is something that is much more believable to me. Like, I have said that it was the narrative that I didn't believe. The narrative that some guy just appears at the last minute and runs and wins was not believable to me. The idea that a group of people in Langford who were dissatisfied with the way that things were being done there put in probably years of work and were also supported by outside political interests. Matt Dell and Jeremy Caradonna are outside political interests. They did the podcast. They talked about how great everything was. They introduced Colby Hedden to the general public. It got 1,000 plays in terms of that podcast, as well as another name that we find over the weekend, specifically in Langford Voters in September of 2021, a guy we know named Ben Isett. Information on that right after this.
Keeping you informed. Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Texture at 1070 10 says Scott Goodmanson didn't know the difference between liberty and liability. Maybe he confused the 2 months. And that's entirely possible. Like, I'm not suggesting that he lied. What I'm suggesting is that it's difficult for me to track this stuff because the official story is very difficult for me to believe. And every so often I hear something that's actually more believable. Although I should say that I have found what I think is the Facebook post that Scott Goodmanson was referring to. And it was posted on September the 4th. So that would be Labor Day, not the August long weekend, which was more than a month earlier. But again, it's sort of odd. Like, he says Labor Day at the forum.
The Labor Day weekend came along.
And then he tells us Labor Day right after the election.
What turned the point was over the Labor Day long weekend.
And then on the Greater Victoria Chamber of Commerce YouTube channel, the interview that Scott Goodmanson did with Bruce Williams, he says it was the August long weekend.
And then we'd gone camping for the August long weekend and I came back.
Now, maybe that's just, you know, a mistake. The evidence, the physical evidence that we've been able to find, at least on the Facebook page, and he's one of the replies there, is from September. But again, the 4 day turnaround has always been very difficult for me to believe. Texture 1070 10 writes, Adam, you're a bully, no longer a listener. Okay. Well, thanks for stopping by. By the way, actually, podcast support has just been amazing over the past week. We did it again. It was over and above the week before, which was our best week ever, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. So thank you, everybody who's taken an interest in this. By the way, you can find us. I prefer that you stream the program. I like it when the program gets streamed. But if you do miss the program live, we have it set up so that you can download the podcast later on in the day. It gets posted in the early afternoon after the show is done. The time's not exactly the same every day just because of workflow issues. But if you've missed some of those shows and you want more context on what we're talking about, I would highly recommend it. Let's see, what was I going to say? So I wanted to, just for the benefit of the record, Langford Now issued a statement last week about, presumably about the coverage that we have been doing, and I wanted to make sure that their side of the story was here for the benefit of the record. Now, I have some issues with their statement here. I think that it's incomplete, and potentially some might consider it to be misleading because of the information that it omits, but I'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to read it for the benefit of the record. Langford Now, which is supposedly separate from Langford Voters, but nobody will tell us who Langford Voters are, so you can't it's very difficult to confirm that Langford Voters is entirely separate. We know that there's overlap between members. There shouldn't be overlap between administrators, because if an administrator that could control what was said or not said on the Langford Voters Facebook page was also a Langford Now partisan representative, that would give Langford Now an obvious benefit there, which means that other candidates who are promised by the page back in April of 2022 that they would attempt to treat everybody equally, there's no way that promise could be fulfilled. So that's basically the long and the short of it. But they wrote the following. They said, "We want to share our story to set the record straight." They say, "In the past few months since the municipal election in Langford, we have seen misinformation and conjecture," I suspect I'm the conjecture, "being spread about the campaign and the results. Vested interests," they write, "seek to undermine and discredit the grassroots democratic movement that upset the balance of power in Langford. The truth is," they write, "the election result reflected what Langford Now organizers, volunteers, and the councillors we endorsed heard on thousands of doorsteps last year in every neighborhood. People in Langford wanted change, and they voted for that change," they write. "Langford Now," the message reads, "was formed and registered as an electors organization with Elections BC in March 2022 by a group of 50 Langford residents. Our goal was to give voters real choices on the ballot, good candidates to bring fresh voices to the council table." It says, "A dozen of us formed the core management group of Langford Now, an amazing assortment," they write about themselves, "of smart, savvy, talented, committed Langford residents with all the complementary skills needed to organize a successful campaign. None of us," they write, "had ever worked on a political campaign before, other than one person when they resided outside of Canada. None of us has any political affiliations." Okay, that's the claim. They go on to write, "We are ordinary working people who had never done this before and had to figure it out as we went. Given we were rookies, we believe our campaign was exceptional and we are proud of it." I just want to do an aside here and say that, yeah, the idea that people who'd never done this before were able to beat Stu Young is a substantial column upon which the entire argument that Stu Young was just a really bad mayor and it was time for him to go and that anybody would have beat him if they had just bothered to try. If that's not true, though, it means that our logical deduction about Stu Young and how popular he was might also not be true. So that's why it's key to be able to question it and substantiate the claim. They write, "No representatives of any other municipality's council, electors organization, outside community group, or political party were part of managing the Langford Now campaign." That's a very specific denial. Managing is very different than helping or contributing in terms of activism and volunteer work or boosting candidates even before Langford Now existed, but they say managing. They say Langford Now was Langford born. Born is an interesting word to use. Born is different from being located in either recently or substantially or exclusively. You can be born somewhere, go somewhere else, help from somewhere else, and still technically be born there, but okay. Let's see. Langford Now is Langford born, a true grassroots community movement, they write, driven by a passionate desire for change in our municipal governance and to create a better Langford. They write, "After we introduced our group to the community, we put out a call for potential candidates willing to run in October 2022. They write, "We had a fantastic response and vetted applicants through a very comprehensive process we developed. We commend the many wonderful residents who had the courage to put their names forward for their community. Five really stood out," they write. "They were smart, new to politics, aligned with the values in our bylaws and vision, had no conflicts of interest, had many transferable skills, and offered a welcome diversity of experience. They now sit on Langford City Council, a true demonstration of the power," they write, "of the people to effect positive change." They write, "Given our limited resources and volunteer capacity, we did not endorse a mayoral candidate." Interesting. They write, "We were pleased when Scott Goodmanson contacted us just before the deadline to declare as a candidate." That would have been September the 9th. But it didn't, it says here, "give us enough time to consult with our members and candidates or carry out the vetting process we were required to earn an official endorsement from Langford Now." It says some of our volunteers did offer support with his campaign, however, and we were thrilled when he won. In Scott Goodmanson's press release issued September 16th, one of the four people who signed this statement is listed as saying they hope that Scott Goodmanson wins. We, and the pronoun we, or excuse me, the term we is included. It's not I, it's not personal, it's we, as Langford Now. So there is a collective endorsement that's in Scott Goodmanson's press release, but his name doesn't have the Langford Now brand beside it, which is probably what they mean. They write, each Langford Now Back candidate developed their own platform, ran their own campaign. We supported them through our centrally organized volunteers with strategy, communications, events, door knocking, and fundraising. As residents can already see clearly from the voting records of the councillors we endorsed, they vote based on their individual views, not as a bloc or party, which is a welcome change. They write, our volunteers and candidates visited more than 10,000 households throughout Langford. Overwhelmingly, people told us they were ready for change. Things used to be good, but not anymore, they write. Too much development, too fast, no coherent plan, construction impacts, traffic congestion, loss of trees and green space, no spots in swim lessons or the school in their neighborhood. We heard those concerns over and over again. We need to take a quick break, but I'm going to read the rest of the statement, and I'm going to talk about one other outside political influence that I think exerted a significant amount of influence in the very early days of what would eventually coalesce into Langford Now. And that's Ben Isett. And I'll explain what I mean after this.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
I didn't believe the official story. I didn't believe that a nobody, an empty vessel, came out of thin air after the Labor Day long weekend, decided to run for mayor of Langford 4 days later, after Labor Day, and received an endorsement from the Langford Now slate. And they did. They're in his press release. Like, if that's not an endorsement, I don't know what word we could choose. It wasn't an official endorsement to actually get the Langford Now brand beside his name on the ballot. But, like, they're on his press release, and they use the word we. Not I. It's not personal. It's we hope he wins, or we hope he does well. So it is what it is. I've never believed the official story. I think that what's more likely is that Scott Goodmanson was politically active and involved and did a lot of work over years. And so did the folks who came together to back the candidates who won. And so did the candidates who won. You know, Colby Harder actually had a different name before she got married, and she's mentioned in the April 2021 podcast that Jeremy Caradona and Matt Dell did about Langford. And, you know, we sampled those clips enough. You can check it out. It's episode 13 of the Best Coast Political Podcast on Spotify. They still have it posted even to this day. But she's referenced as Colby Hedden at that point. So you can see the journeys that these people took. They didn't just show up at the last minute and win. And Scott Goodmanson is no exception. He didn't just show up at the last minute and win either. It's just it's been presented like he did, which I found really odd. So anyway, Langford Now issued a statement last week on March 17th saying that they were responding to misinformation and conjecture. I assume that they mean conjecture with me, speculation. Theorizing and trying to understand political motives and opportunities, there is necessarily always going to be an element of conjecture, of opinion, of theorizing. We attempt to knock down our theories using just, like, I'm trying to think of how's the best way to put this. Something doesn't add up about all this. And I don't see the benefit for trying to create a narrative that's easy enough to poke holes in. Like, for heaven's sakes, Goodmanson doesn't even know what weekend he decided to run yet. He said Labor Day.
The Labor Day weekend.
What turned the point was over the Labor Day long weekend.
And then we'd gone camping for the August long weekend.
Well, the August long weekend is a month earlier. And maybe he meant to say Labor Day. Maybe he thought they were the same weekend. Who knows? But, like, when you try to track these things, you start to see hallmarks of, if not theatricality, then just rhetoric. So that makes one want to look closer. So anyway, Langford Now issued the statement. We're just finishing it up. They go on to say, they were met with generous support. They say that they had 210 unique donors, 157 people donating under $100. They say 53 people donating over $100. More than 98% of donations, they write, came from people living in Langford. Their small change for big change supported all aspects of our campaign, and we are proud of what we were able to accomplish with those donations. What they were able to accomplish was extraordinary. In fact, it feels impossible given how we are told it was done, which is why we've been looking at this. And again, I haven't alleged financial impropriety. At no time have I suggested any laws were broken. I've talked about support. I've talked about those who have donated to other causes in the past are supporters, and those who have supported other causes in the past are listed as donors. I've never said that donors to other causes are donors here necessarily. And so I hope nobody's taking that meaning, because I haven't actually said that, to my knowledge. It says, regarding allegations of influence. Here we go. Regarding allegations of influence from outside political entities, it says of the 1,130 donors to the BC Green Party. See, they're going between influence and giving money, and they're different things. giving money is certainly a form of influence, but not all forms of influence are giving money. I've been talking about influence and support. That doesn't mean donations necessarily. It can be volunteer power. It can just be putting out the good word on Facebook. It can be helping populate a comment section to make things look a certain way. That's a big part of political parties these days. Everybody's got an account that's pseudonymous with maybe a funny name on it. Everybody populates comment sections with either good or bad to boost their person and tear down the other person. That's unfortunately just how organized politics is done now. Let's see. It says four individuals with similar names for BC Green Party donors each donated under $100 to Langford Now. It says Langford Now electors organization had no donors in common with any Together Victoria donors listed publicly for the previous three Victoria elections with their candidates. Well, look, Matt Dell's a Together Victoria donor, and he made a podcast saying that he was hoping that the Langford Voters for Change group kept working. He was hoping that we would see change in Langford. He said the best thing for a strong Victoria is a strong Langford. He said that they were sister cities. Again, I'm not saying he donated. I'm saying he supported. And he did. We all heard him support it. Like, that had to have exerted some influence. Anyway, the statement goes on to say, each of us who volunteered for the Langford Now campaign was driven by a passion for our community and a desire to make it a better place to start a family, raise our families, and grow old together. It says, we put in countless hours of our own precious time over almost a year. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. There was an enormous amount of work that went into this. It says, the election in Langford was won by hard work and by votes cast by Langford residents. Again, nobody's alleged that outsiders voted differently here in Langford. It was that outsiders influenced it, and I still think they did. But anyway, no hidden agenda or backroom politics or big money influenced our campaign. I'm not sure what that means. What drove the results, they write, we saw were community volunteers committed to Langford, exceptional local candidates who reflected the best of what we thought our community could be, and ordinary residents who cared about the future of our community coming out to vote. Some, they write, are afraid of what this change means. Some, they write, have sought to devalue and delegitimize the local democratic movement we ignited. They might mean me. If they do, okay, you can have that opinion. They write, we are not intimidated. Okay. They write, while Langford Now has wound down, the community volunteers who made up the group remain committed to upholding truth and democracy in Langford. Well, that sounds very noble. They say, because now the hard work has begun, the people of Langford, whoever you voted for, must come together, i.e. support our candidates, to build the vision for the next phase of our growing and maturing city, they say. I see divisions do not serve our community. Through collaboration and respectful dialogue, we can support our new council and hold them accountable to create a sustainable future where we all thrive in peace in the place, we call home. So there we go. And it's signed by four people who are public figures. Lori Plump, financial agent, Langford Now, signing this public statement. Corinna Craig, authorized principal official, who is a public figure due to signing this statement. Kristen Aram, principal officer. You'll remember her from being in the Times Colonist talking about the arbutus tree being the heart and lungs of Langford. Principal officer. And Sarah Plank, communications co-chair. So those four. I do have one problem with this, though, and it's what it left out. There are some omissions here because one or more of them have been involved in political advocacy campaigns before, and those political advocacy campaigns have been very successful. So successful, in fact, that one of them that was known as Magical Mountain that had to do with an advocacy campaign to have a level of government purchase a parcel of land that is near Finlayson Arm to preserve it as some sort of a park or similarly protected area was involving multiple members of those four that you just heard and was also supported using his position at the Capital Regional District Board table by Ben Isett. And we know that it was supported by Capital Regional District Director at the time, Ben Isett, because he wrote to his colleagues about it, urging Capital Regional District Directors to support it, and they posted it on Langford Voters. Again, the same Facebook page, and they talked about how exciting it was. It was posted, September the 23rd of 2021. So April was the Matt Dell, Jeremy Cardona podcast. So April, May, June, July, August, September. So this was 5 months after the Matt Dell, Jeremy Cardona podcast. Ben Isett writes, thank you for writing. I have advised members of the CRD board, the Regional Parks Committee, and CRD staff of my support for moving forward with the acquisition of this parcel. in order to pursue connectivity of the Goldstream Provincial Park and Gowland Todd Provincial Park and to protect biological diversity and sensitive ecosystems on this important parcel. Ben Isett writes, I appreciate your advocacy, and I encourage you to continue working with other community members and ecologically oriented grassroots organizations until the parcel has been permanently protected from the risk of real estate development and other uses contrary to protection of ecological values. All the best, Ben, he signs it. And they've actually posted this particular email on Langford Voters. The author says, Magic Mountain, I'm supposing everyone received the same response. Way to go, Kristen A., the poster writes. That's Kristen Aram, registered principal of Langford Now. Same one with the arbutus tree, same one Heart of Lungs in Langford, and the same one that is one of the four signatories of the public statement that we read earlier in the show. She posts underneath it. She says, there's been a lot of support. We're being heard. Somebody else says, you're doing an amazing job, Corinna Craig. Again, one of the four who we just named is also in the comments saying, I got the same response, but grateful that he's supporting and responding. He being Ben Isett. Somebody else says, Corinna Craig, me too. So this wasn't technically Langford Now. This was people who would go on to be on the executive of Langford Now, who would go on to sign their names to a statement representing Langford Now. Before then, were involved in other advocacy campaigns that were so successful, they got Ben Isett's attention, and he wrote all of his colleagues saying, this is a good idea, let's do this, essentially. Kristen Aram writes, I think that means Councillor Isett sent out approximately 180-plus emails. She then talks about how on Monday morning, she'd emailed every mayor and every councillor and every municipality in the CRD asking that they write a letter of support to the Parks Committee, too, saying it's been added to the agenda of three municipalities so far for their next council meetings. Things are happening behind the scenes, she writes, and hopefully we'll have an idea of where we stand soon. Another commenter writes, this brings me to tears. It's not the win yet, but it's a great step forward, commenting on Ben Isett's email. Thank you to everyone fighting to save this land. Yes, another commenter writes, thank you for your support, Ben Isett. That's good, another texter writes, save our lands for the Cougars too, et cetera, et cetera. So I just want to point out the significance of all of this, because Langford had representatives at the Capital Regional District Board. I believe it was Lanny Seaton at that point in 2021, or was it Denise Blackwell, or was it both at that point? It's supposed to be one representative for 25,000 people. Langford grows so fast that it's hard to keep track of who was what and where, but Langford had representatives. For somebody as enormously influential as Ben Isett, to declare to every single one of his CRD colleagues, this is something we should pursue, and for that to get posted on the Langford Voters Facebook channel that goes on to be significant and highly influential in the overall election, and for him to be praised and for people to say they're so happy they're crying and thank you, Ben Isett, for your support, that has to have an impact on the Langford councillors whose emails are not listed there. What about Lanny Seaton? Where's his support from these Langford residents seeking to protect this Langford parcel from Langford real estate development at the CRD board? Where's Denise Blackwell? Why isn't she included in this post about CRD residents trying to protect about Langford residents trying to protect a Langford parcel of land from Langford real estate development? Why is it Ben Isett that is being held up as the champion of this page and in doing so cannot help but send the message that he is providing the much-needed guidance, support, and influence that is being denied to Langford residents by their own elected and appointed representatives at the Capital Regional District Board table? The symbolism there is very significant. Even if all of the Ben Isett involvement in this entire campaign is limited to just September of 2021, through that sole act, he influenced the outcome of this campaign by making the existing Langford Mayor and Council look bad, the ones that were appointed to the CRD board look bad, and also sent a signal to all of his followers, Langford is a place where positive change is happening. Here's somebody doing it. And the Kristen A. that is mentioned in the post that is thanked for starting this whole letter campaign is the one who goes on to be the principal of Langford Now, one of the four. So yes, there was outside political influence. Yes, it did alter what would eventually become the course of this campaign. Yes, it happened before Langford Now existed, but it had to have exerted at least some overall influence on the discourse in that municipality, in addition to contributions made by Jeremy Caradonna, Matt Dell, who would go on to be councillors, of course, in the future, even if it was back in 2021. That's what I mean when I say that. Quick break, back after this.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Hi, Adam. A texter writes at 1070-10, where can the article be found that caused Goodmanson to run for office? It's not an article. It's a post by somebody on the Langford Voters Facebook page. It was dated on September the 4th. I'm banned from the channel right now. So people have been sending me things that they have been finding in the channel, so I'm still able to see what's in there. But you can find it on September the 4th, and it's just an ordinary person posts a picture of an excavator that's up a hill from them, presumably from the Hidden Valley Mobile Home Park. Goodmanson has a comment there. The comment isn't dated until September the 15th, though. Like, he says, I just private messaged you, or he says something like that to get their attention. I don't know why he would reach out and tell them he's private messaged them a week or around a week after he actually registered, because his story doesn't add up. But then again, there's a few things about his stories that don't add up, like what long weekend it was that he went camping to try to win, or excuse me, to come back, hear about this, and then decide to win the election. Texter writes, you exert outside influence on municipalities all the time. Texter, thank you for saying that. It's very kind. I'm not actually running for office, though. I'm an opinion maker. I'm a commentator. Yes, I'm like if I end up running for political office, everybody's going to go, he was doing it to benefit himself, which obviously wouldn't look very good. So I don't have any plans to run for any office at this time. But no, these are supports from people who were planning to run for political office. Matt Dell was one of them. He clearly did it. Jeremy Caradonna was one of them. He clearly did it. Ben Isett was in political office at the time and used the power of his political office to ask his colleagues at the CRD table, presumably including the Langford councillors appointed there, to help preserve this parcel of land and help these brave Langford residents save this Langford pristine ecosystem from real estate development. You're going to tell me that didn't exert an influence on the overall political discourse? Of course it did. And it was using the power of office as well. It's actually quite brilliant in terms of how he did it, but a lot of Isett's tactics were. He either knew or ought to have known. One, he was making Langford Council look really bad, which is no surprise because his history with them is, well, there's a lot of acrimony that flies back and forth. Like when Stu Young was on with us in early 22 and said, you know, we don't comment on all the stupid stuff Victoria does. And that's how Stu spoke. But yeah, no, there was absolutely significant influence exerted. Dell, Caradonna, Isett. And just those three, their followers, that's a substantial boost to any movement. In fact, there were people who I know as Ben Isett, longtime followers, longtime supporters who have followed him around from issue to issue to issue supporting him, that were out in Langford before, during, and after the election. I'm thinking, and they don't live in Langford. I'm thinking, what is this guy doing here? What are you doing here, longtime Ben Isett supporter? You don't even live in this municipality. And then, you know, I'd get a bunch of invective and insults thrown at me, which, you know, is understandable given what happened to the guy that they hold in such high esteem. One of the longest, furthest, most precipitative falls from grace, or precipitous, excuse me, falls from grace of any politician I've ever seen in any local election, probably anywhere in British Columbia. Who else went from first place to 11th place in one cycle in an at-large council environment? So it's really extraordinary. It's not like Stu Young, who lost by 8 points. And the more we look at the Stu Young race, the more it makes sense that there was a substantial machine that had been going after him for a while. But I digress. So if you think that I exert influence on other municipalities all the time, all comments do, all support does, all everything does. But I'm not running. I'm not, like, I don't have a stake in it in terms of I'm running and I'm trying to benefit myself or I'm trying to benefit political friends is the distinction. But thank you for raising it because it's a fair point. Let's see. What else was I going to write? Oh, yeah. This is where things get very interesting. Because elsewhere on the Langford Voters Facebook page, and it's basically the geological sedimentary record of how Stu Young lost. If you wanted to write a book on how Stu Young lost, you should just put every single post from every single page and every single comment on Langford Voters into a book, publish it, and you can start in early 2021, and you can see the narratives coalescing. You can see certain people joining the movement. You can see the reasons behind it. It has been a fascinating chronological record. Scott Goodmanson was not a nobody, though. He was not an empty vessel. He didn't come out of thin air, and he didn't just appear after Labor Day. He was involved for a long time. Take this post, August 9th, 2021, that I found over the weekend. Somebody posts on Langford Voters, is anybody from this group planning on running for a council seat in the next election? Scott Goodmanson answers, I would love to see a full slate ready to replace the entire council, if that is what the voters wanted. Right now, they have had little choice otherwise. So there we go. Scott Goodmanson, sure looks like him, on Langford voters in August of 2021. That's not 22, 21. So like a year and a half almost before the election, Scott Goodmanson publicly saying he wants to see a full slate run against Langford mayor and council. Not a nobody, not an empty vessel. Here's where it gets really interesting, though. There are posts also here from Kristen Aurum, the Langford Now principal official, that we read, one of the four that signed the public statement, and also the one that advocated for the arbutistry, the heart and lungs of Langford. Full disclosure, she's also called me a conspiracy theorist, and I think she posted something suggesting that something to do with fascism and CFAX that she since clarified, which, you know, I was thankful for. So she has a flair for the dramatic and rhetorical, and that's fine. That's how politics works. Successful politics, at least. They're talking about Langford Mayor Denise, or excuse me, Langford Councillor Denise Blackwell, who was also on the CRD board for a while, wasn't she? Huh. It's interesting that Ben Isett would be the champion of Langford ecologically minded citizens, that when Denise Blackwell, longtime representative at the CRD board, wouldn't be, isn't it? I find that interesting. Like, Denise Blackwell did very poorly, too, in the election that we had in the fall. So poorly, you'd have to think somebody was targeting her. So a poster writes, I hope the councillors are seeing the writing on the wall. Langford is so very tired of the lack of accountability. Most importantly, a poster writes, Denise Blackwell and her I meant it when she gave the finger during a council meeting has to go. You can still find this on YouTube. Scott Goodmanson posts a link on Langford Voters to the YouTube video of Denise Blackwell giving the finger to a protester in Langford Council Chambers in 2008 and saying, I meant it. The YouTube user is named Dawn Knight. It was posted 15 years ago, and it sounds like this.
I saw you, Denise.
I saw you, Denise, somebody says.
I saw you, Denise.
Bye, bye.
I saw you.
I meant it. I heard you.
I meant it. I heard you. You hear Denise Blackwell.
I meant it. I heard you.
Scott Goodmanson posted that to Langford voters quite some time ago. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Kristen Aurum, in this comment section below it, again, this more than a year ago, says, so gross, Denise Blackwell, to an Indigenous woman trying to protect her homelands from desecration and destruction. Kristen Aurum, who goes on to be a principal official for Langford Now, writes, Denise Blackwell has a special place in hell. No doubt. Wow. So anyway, Denise Blackwell, if you're under the impression that, you know, you had cordial relationships with the Langford Now crew, that they weren't out to get you, that maybe they were out to get Community First Langford's Stu Young Slate, but you were sort of neutral. No, I think that, well, they a year and a half ago, they were writing that Denise Blackwell, there is a special place in hell for you. And that was just out there. And it's in a comment thread, and the mayor's a couple of comments above, Scott Goodmanson. So clearly, looking at how things worked out in the election, in hindsight, I think that there was a lot of work that went into this. It wasn't a last-minute thing. Was it grassroots? Well, if it was, Ben Isett, Caradonna, and Dell were all full-throated supporters of it, and by extension, so would be their political supporters. And at the end of the day, Stu Young was beaten, but I don't think he saw any of this in terms of what happened. And the Langford Voters Facebook page is still a treasure trove. Like this one, May 10th, 2022. They're talking about the Jordy Lund Bike Park opening right now. Scott Goodmanson in the comments, quote, I am curious if Stu had his RCMP handlers there again. He had the RCMP telling people who could and couldn't ask him questions at the Station Road briefing last year. Oh, and then somebody replies, he did, largely because we don't have municipal police. The replier writes, he won't have RCMP physical security forever if the city gets big enough. Scott Goodmanson replies, I didn't realize he feared for his life. With all his bravado and kicking butt attitude, I'm surprised he would hide behind the police. A replier named Scott Goodmanson in a Langford Facebook Voters for Change page post, May 10th, 2022. No, not a nobody, not an empty vessel at all. A man with a clear goal and a record that stretches back years in this Facebook channel where you get banned from if you ask too many questions, or at least it seems that way. Quick break, back after this.